Podcast for Change bei Staufen.
Welcome everyone to this episode of our Podcast for Change. Today with a very interesting topic of strategy implementation, so how to implement strategies. My name is Jan-Philipp Stommel, I am project manager at Staufen and dealing in my daily project life with developing and implementing strategies. And to introduce our topic of the day, I would like to start off with a study result. Research of very renowned institutes show that a shocking 70% of all strategic initiatives fail in the implementation and do not lead to the company's strategic targets. And in this episode, we will be discussing reasons for those ineffective initiatives and also concepts on how to handle implementation of strategies. And when I say we, I mean my guest for the episode. And I'm actually very happy to be able to discuss this topic with him today, because he can give us some insights from two worlds. On the one hand, he is shareholder of the Ilias Group. So I would say with quite some interest in the achievement of strategic targets. And on the other hand, he's a department co-manager of the sales organization of the group in Japan. So also, on the other hand, responsible for the implementation of such initiatives. And yeah, therefore, good morning, Mr. Ilias, or for you rather, good afternoon, right?
Yes, good morning, good afternoon from Tokyo. Mr. Stommel, thanks a lot. Thanks for having me here.
No problem. Thank you very much for taking the time. Yeah, maybe you can give us a short introduction about you and the company, and then we can dive into the topic.
Absolutely. My name is Max Ilias. Our company is called C. Ilias & Co. We are based in Hamburg, Germany. So I'm from Hamburg too. Both here, German-speaking, Mr. Stommel and myself. I'm based in Japan. That's correct. And that's also one of the reasons we're doing this conversation in English. Most of our organization is actually not German speaking. We are an international trading company, and only some 10% of my colleagues are German native speakers. And that's just to clarify why we're doing this podcast here, this conversation in English, also for me to share amongst my colleagues such that they can follow our conversation here. Yeah, and a little more about our company. What do we do? Who are we? We have a 163-year history. Started trading industrial goods from Germany to Japan. And over the years, have developed into a sales and service organization. We partner with especially, machinery manufacturers from Germany and from Europe in general, and support them in setting up their sales and service organizations in Asia. One of those markets is Japan, and that's what brings me here. The connection to the manufacturing industry is, of course, also what brought us to Staufen. So we know Staufen is strong in consultancy around manufacturing as a whole, and we, seeing ourselves as the extended arm of the manufacturing industry, have decided to utilize that same skill set that Staufen provide.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you for taking the time today to discuss with me. And before we start, I would like to give a little bit of context. Actually, I think we met 1.5 years ago, it is now, at an event at one of our best practice partners, Munch. Where we had a look at how our partner is actually dealing with the management, also with the implementation of strategies. Our partner is using actually the concept of Hoshin Kanri that also we are very convinced of, that this is the way on how to successfully implement strategies. Why did you decide to join the event?
That is a good question. Of course, there wasn't only interest, not only curiosity in what you were doing with Company Munch and what you are doing under this whole title of Hoshin Kanri, For sure, one of the big motives was also a strong need, a strong necessity that we identified in our own company to improve our own strategic management. That was the foundation of this whole search for support and for Staufen's consultancy around the topic of management strategy.
Okay. Now, after 1.5 years, what would you think? What would be reasons for this? I mentioned it at the beginning. The 70% that its strategic initiatives are not implemented effectively. What, from your perspective, do you think are reasons?
I think in our case, for sure, it was a matter of a weakness in following through on targets that were set. It's essentially what we were doing for many years was setting targets, losing track of them, committing too many resources or too few resources, and getting distracted by other things that pop up in daily business, and suddenly losing sight of the targets that were set a year ago, 2 years, 3 years ago, and looking back, realizing that in fact not enough was done, and somehow unconsciously we ended up off course compared to where we set out to go when targets X and Y were set. Essentially, that's the big weakness we identified in our organization.
Yeah. We see that, or I see that quite often at other customers as well, that there's always, when the strategy is developed, when the projects are defined, there's a big motivation and everyone is committed and wants to achieve it. But then when the time passes and the weeks pass on, then the daily business always catches up with you. And the strategic initiatives get forgotten or even deprioritized, right? That's the one thing. Another thing that I see quite often, I'm not sure, it would be interesting how that was for you, is that there are too many projects defined. So I see a lot of customers have a huge number of projects that are all important, and it cannot really be seen which project is now really linked to which strategic goal. So that's also what we see quite a lot. And then, of course, the whole organization just cannot follow through, as you described, with the projects. How is that for you in your situation?
For sure. We share a lot of those characteristics that you just described. In German, we would call it the red line, having to see the red line that follows through from a target to the organization, or the red thread. And absolutely, I think that's an incredibly common occurrence, missing in many companies, and we found it missing in ours too. When it then comes to how you spend your resources, it's really a high skill to be able to say, I know exactly where to spend how much of which resource and what kind of result that will pay into down the road. And absolutely, looking back at your study results, the 70% of companies where strategic initiatives don't reach the intended result is also in large part a matter of resources not committed properly. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If we look back at the event now that we have and the concept of Hoshin Kanri, that's also somewhere within the lean context, right? How would you describe the concept that we implemented also with you together in the last 1.5 years? I know it's a tough thing to describe it in a couple of sentences, but how would you do that?
Yeah, first of all, I have to mention living in Japan now for a little less than a year. So Hoshin Kanri, of course, as the name suggests, originates from Japan, originates from Toyota, as so many great management tools do. However, the Japanese no longer recognize it, which I found very curious arriving here.
Oh, that's really interesting.
That doesn't reduce in any way its legitimacy. it's simply an interesting case of a originally Japanese product, which the West has now changed to its own requirements. And the Japanese look at it and say, well, this may have been Japanese at some point, but now no longer is. It reminds me a little bit of, let's take sushi and putting avocado in sushi, which may be a great invention, but the Japanese do not recognize it as their own anymore.
Never heard that comparison, but yeah.
But coming back to your question, how would I define or describe this strategy deployment with Hoshin Kanri? We use it as a framework for setting targets, tracking targets, and in the end, of course, hoping to reach a high degree of achievement of our company objectives. In the end, however, it's simply the toolbox, a highly useful and highly versatile toolbox that we have now been using for roughly 1 year to help us determine the appropriate targets, to create cascading plans for the execution, and to track progress and manage the deviations on our road to reaching these targets. So these two keywords, framework and toolbox, are how I would describe the whole methodology.
Yeah, I think you mentioned like the three aspects that I also always try to differentiate. So the first one is really deriving, we always say 3 to 5 breakthrough targets for an organization, really from the vision. So what are the 3 to 5 targets that would bring the organization to the next level? Then in the next step, concretizing targets into the annual slice and defining really the strategic projects that drive exactly those annual targets. And as a third step, as you mentioned, to build some kind of system to manage these projects with KPIs that give you an early indication if projects are not effective, if you look at a year that you already notice in March which projects don't have the effect that you want them to have, which projects don't work the way you want them to have. So that would be the third big aspect, of the concept. How is it working with this concept for you now after 1.5 years? What does it give you?
Yeah, that's a question we ask ourselves every day, of course, looking back also at this year together with Staufen and hundreds of hours, it feels like anyway, of workshops and implementation sessions and training sessions. For sure, we can say that what it gives us today already is a much stronger sense of, in German, again, I have to use a German saying here, of having all carts hooked up to the wagon, to the locomotive. Previously, one of the common symptoms of us not reaching our strategic targets, or not fulfilling strategic initiatives, was, to stay in the analogy, the train carts all lined up at the train station, but only the locomotive starts moving.
Okay.
And all the wagons are not yet hitched up and still standing at the tracks. And for sure, this scenario we are now much more able to avoid and to in fact ensure when the locomotive starts moving from the first cart to the last cart, all wagons are hitched on. And a modern train, as a train fan might know, is not pulled from the front, but is driven by each wagon itself. And that too is something we are getting much closer to with this cascading of targets throughout the organization and really breaking a target down, asking yourself, why is it essential? What is necessary to achieve it? And who is necessary? And then also letting each team member know what their contribution is.
Mm-hmm.
So in a few sentences, these are the big gains we've made in the past year.
Yeah. I think you mentioned an interesting point there. I always hear the like kind of phrase, we need to take the employees with us when it comes to strategy implementation. How would you say the concept of Hoshin Kanri does that?
Most of all, I would say it creates a transparency. For sure, alongside with that, you also need the efficient communication throughout the organization, communication throughout each team. But the structure of this methodology allows a transparency which, with the sufficient training, and once you've sort of are able to look through it and to look at a matrix, these Hoshin Kanri matrices, for example, and quickly recognize the contents, it really does give you transparency quite quickly over long-term objectives with longer year cycles, 3 to 5 years, how these are broken down and what is set out to achieve them. That can in fact be given for a whole organization within an A3 sheet. And that, to come back to the phrasing of taking all your employees with you, is for sure also one of the big benefits.
Yeah, I think with the A3 sheet, you're referring to our inner report method. Maybe we need to give a little bit of context there. So within the Hoshin Kanri and within the approach, we try to create situations with the employees where we could really form a consensus on what are the annual goals, what are the projects, how can we really anchor them in their daily operating processes, so how do we need to work differently in the future in order to contribute to the strategic goals. And I think these situations are really the core on how to take the employees with me, because only if you have a consensus on what is the right way and also how to achieve it, then I think really all employees kind of see their contribution and really drive the strategy for an organization.
Yes, can only agree with that. I have to say, when we started working with the inner reports, they were by far the most challenging part of learning this methodology. But now too, looking back 1 year and having done them for the first time, preparing for the new fiscal year by ourselves, I can confirm this is one of the centerpieces.
Okay. I think it might be hard for the listeners also to grasp all the methods now that we are talking about, but I can only refer.
Sure.
There's also a white paper online where you can download those things and have a more detailed look. You were mentioning the contents as an important aspect. You also used the tool to introduce the concept of lean management to your organization with it, right? So. How does this go hand in hand? How does the tool and the lean concept play into together?
That's also a question which we are still asking ourselves every day, and I get asked by my colleagues on a regular basis too. How do they connect? And yes, you're right. Now 1 year on, we are, in terms of the transformation that we are trying to master in our company, much more focused on lean methodology, and not so much focused anymore on learning about the strategic management methodology that we discussed just now. So the focus of our training, of our learning at the moment, is much more around lean methodology, which is why the question of this transfer is also very present in our own teams. I think the biggest overlap between the two is in the fact that when we ask ourselves, why did we previously get distracted when trying to reach our strategic objectives? The answer was always that we would end up in wasteful activities. We would end up doing too much of things which aren't really value adding. And we would too rarely ask ourselves, really strictly ask ourselves, what the customer perspective looks like and what a customer is truly willing and consciously willing to pay for, either an internal or external customer. So this search of causes for distractions is essentially what led us to starting this lean transformation.
Okay. And the Hoshin Kanri kind of gave you the tool set, the methods, and gave you some structure in order to do exactly this Would that be a way to describe it?
Absolutely. And it uncovered sources of waste too, which of course is a very important part of starting a lean transformation, is developing this waste and waste versus value added thinking.
Absolutely. Thank you. Okay. Maybe one last question. I think we're already a little bit into the time. What changes can you observe in your organization now after having implemented it, having trained the lean concept, having used Hoshin Kanri for 1.5 years? What changed already in the behaviors, in the patterns? What comes to
I
your
think
mind?
One of the most obvious changes is that the strategic objectives we set now really do cascade through our company in a way which I believe, having only been with the company 7 years, but still some time, which I believe has not been the case before. So we have a much stronger correlation of targets set with a multi-year time frame and the day-to-day activity of each and every colleague, and a much stronger connection of what all of our staff do on a daily basis and how that connects to long-term company targets. And secondly, the whole approach, how these targets are set and how you try to identify what is necessary to achieve them, has really sharpened our senses for early stage indicators of whether or not targets are going to be reached. So talking about success factors, which are a big part of the Hoshin Kanri matrices, looking for early stage indicators to use as success factors, to use as measurements of reaching your targets, has also really improved in our sales and service teams, meaning they are much more aware to recognizing, is my sales funnel filled sufficiently? Am I going to reach downstream sales targets? And how early can I tell whether or not that will be the case? Those two improvements we can already see now for sure.
All right. Okay, great to hear. Thank you. Good. Any further comments you would like to make regarding the concept, or any tips or tricks?
Oh, that's a tough one. Tips and tricks. I'm not sure we're at the point yet where we can share too much of our wisdom with anyone who is considering to follow us here. Perhaps one advice I could give is, again, coming back to the question of resource management. So even with a great tool like this one, you can still overcommit resources, undercommit resources. It doesn't save you from that. And when setting your goals, deciding which changes are necessary to achieve them, you should still decide very carefully how much to put on your plate, how much to put on your plate for which teams, and what is the right dosage, what can be handled and achieved in the most effective way. So that's one of the learnings we had for sure after 1 year of working in the tool, that in fact, in the beginning, we heaped far too much on our plates for the early months of implementation. And that is also a case of rather aiming too high than aiming too low. But still, looking back, a learning I wish I would have had earlier.
Yeah, I heard a sentence a couple of days ago from a colleague of mine who said we are overestimating what we can achieve within 1 year, but we are underestimating what we can achieve within 5 years. So that might be a good...
That's a great summary.
A good takeaway.
That's a nice way of putting it.
Yes, perfect. All right. Mr. Elias, thank you very much for the time.
Thank you.
To summarize, I would say, what have we discussed? So the concept of Hoshin Kanri really gives you a set of methods and tools how to implement your strategy, how to invite and create a consensus within the organization, within all employees, to contribute to the strategy, to the strategic goals. As Mr. Elias told us today in his company, there's a really strong link now between the long-term breakthrough targets for the organization and the operative and daily business. So Hoshin Kanri can really build the bridge here. And of course, it provides early stage indicators so that you can see already in March or April of the year, are we still on track with our projects? Which projects really have the effect that we would like them to have, and which do we maybe need to question again? But still, you need to be quite careful which resources to put where. So that's really the big art here. All right. Again, thank you very much, Mr. Ilias, for taking the time and introducing us, the Hoshin Canary, and how you as a company use it. I would say for further information, you can find a white paper about this topic where terminologies like the inner report and everything are explained and the whole concept is described again. And with this, I would say thank you and until the next episode.